This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 15th of October, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller on the news today. Thanks for joining us. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. In the news, an update on corn and soybean harvest in southeast Indiana, and we hear from an Indiana FFA member who is hoping for a national officer position. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for cool conditions, but dry and less windy, and another sell-off in the ag market yesterday. John Zanker checks in with analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
A harvest update from southeast Indiana and working to become a national FFA officer. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The theme this harvest season has been solid yields for earlier planted corn and soybeans, while later planted crops have taken a bit of a hit, especially soybeans. Pioneer agronomist Jason Geis says that's true of his territory as well in southeast Indiana.
Yields have been very, very good on both corn and soybeans. Certainly late last week, we started to dive into more of the later May crop. And I would say that I've heard that yields are starting to maybe dip off a little bit from that early planting window, but growers are still very pleased. But yeah, certainly beans. I mean, we just didn't have much rain at all there in August. We did not have the moisture to fill those pods out like we would have hoped. So the later planted beans are maybe dipping off a little bit more. And then as we get into fuller maturity beans, like the group fours, they're starting to dip off a little bit more than some of the mid group threes.
While we're still in the thick of this year's harvest, Geis knows you're already thinking about next year. He encourages you to reflect on your weed control program. Were you happy with it? Or do you need to make some adjustments, like introducing different modes of action to help battle water hemp? He also encourages you to think about your P&K.
I hear from growers, boy, I did not expect these yields. This is way more than what I expected. Are we matching our fertility program to replace those nutrients? You know, if we go 2 to 3 years where I feel like growers have had above expectations on yield, are we replacing the P&K that we've been taking out of those fields with these bigger yields than what we expected?
Hear the full HAT interview with Geis at HoosierAgToday.com. You can get in touch with your Pioneer representative to start putting a plan together for next year by visiting pioneer.com/findmyrep. After completing a year as an Indiana FFA state officer, this young man has now set a goal to become a national FFA officer. C.J. Miller has more.
I hope if I'm elected as a national officer, I can encourage more members to take full advantage of opportunities and really strive and build goals for their FFA journeys.
And that's Carson Rudd of Carroll County. He was the reporter for the Indiana FFA officer team just last year. He says being a full-time officer has prepared him to become a national FFA officer.
We are one of about 5 or 6 states that allow their state officers to take a gap year from school in order to better serve our members. And I think that experience alone, being able to say I was basically a 9-to-5 employee of our state association, has prepared me with those skills of being in an office while also going out and engaging with members in chapter visits, going to chapter banquets, and hosting conferences at the Leadership Center. And that reflects a lot onto what national office will look like.
Carson says he's ready for the commitment and the huge amount of travel that comes with the job.
It's not uncommon that you go weeks or even a month before seeing some of your teammates as national officers because you're in different states at different times. And you might come together for an industry visit or a training that National FFA puts on for the growth and development of the team. So yeah, It'll be a little bit different not seeing your teammates every single day like I was able to as an Indiana State officer.
Carson says he wouldn't have the leadership ability, nor would he have the confidence to want to become a national FFA officer if it weren't for the skills he's learned from the organization over the past 7 years.
If you would have told seventh grade me that I would have to be traveling the state, giving workshops or going to chapter banquets in parts of the state that I've never been to and giving a 15-minute speech, I would have called you crazy. But because of the experiences that FFA gives its students, it really helps push you to always strive for that next level of development in your journey and in those skills like leadership and communication.
The new officer team will be announced during the final session of the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo coming up on Saturday, October 26th. It's at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a dry forecast for most of the rest of this week. We are seeing a slightly better conditions today than yesterday. Still seeing cool air in over most of the state, but maybe a degree or two warmer in most areas. The biggest thing that you'll notice today, I think the north winds are going to back off just a little bit, so that should decrease slightly the lake effect cloud cover and the lake effect precipitation. Yesterday we saw a kind of a steady stream of light hit and miss action coming off the southern shore of Lake Michigan into northwest Indiana. I think that backs off a little bit today. Still seeing a frost and freeze potential over the next couple of nights. Hard frosts here tonight. Freeze likely tomorrow night into Thursday morning. But then we see temperatures bounce quickly and nicely. We're going to be warm for Thursday afternoon, well above normal for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We've got a frontal complex trying to come together in the Great Plains the end of this week, into the weekend. But as it hits the Mississippi River, it dies in most areas. I think moisture holds on a little bit in the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, and especially the eastern part of Minnesota, moving across the Great Lakes into Michigan late Sunday into early Monday. With this current track and this current setup, I'm going to say Indiana stays precipitation free. Ohio stays precipitation free. We do see some clouds, especially in northern parts of Indiana, as that system passes by over Michigan, but I don't look for much of anything down this direction. Now, as we go forward then, next week, still looking at above normal temperatures and a dry scenario from Monday at least through Thursday. I think we have a great window of opportunity to continue harvest. We're going to get into the corn heavy. Beans are wrapping up very, very quickly here this week. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Everything sells off as we open a new week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. I'll have settlements from a lower day throughout the session coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. And for that, I spoke with John Zanker near the end of trade. John is with Risk Management Commodities. John, a sell-off in corn, soybeans, and wheat to open up the week. And Columbus Day, no reports from the government coming. But we do have what appears maybe to be harvest pressure pushing on the markets, along with a stronger dollar index. Anything else we should be looking at?
Well, those northern Brazilian maps have certainly gotten wetter, for the past 3-4 weeks. I've talked with you about some precipitation maybe being out there in that 8 to 14 day period for Mato Grosso, Goiás, those two most northern states. And we'd get to the next radio piece 7 days out, and that moisture was still out in the 8 to 14. So finally, we're starting to see some of it showing up. In fact, there were some light rains scattered stuff over the weekend, and certainly more in the 4 to 7 day period, 1 to 3 day period, and pretty wet looking forecast for that 8 to 14 day period. So we're losing the weather card that's been pretty good to us here the last month. In fact, I think we dipped below $10 soybeans for the first time in a month. So on the other hand, not much rain in sight for the Corn Belt, and boy, these moisture levels have really fallen, of course, in soybeans. We're back to taking off 8.5% beans. Got a snapshot just a few minutes ago from a combine in Illinois, 12.8% moisture content there. So it's going to happen in corn as well. So, but no, the pressure today, we're going to end, this will be the heaviest harvest week for corn today. We're wrapping up soybeans in a lot of areas. So just some good old-fashioned hedge pressure, and then you throw in the weather and some of the outside markets, and we've got some weakness.
Of course, if there was some place for all those corn and beans to go coming off the combine because of strong demand, that would be excellent. That would be perfect. What is that picture looking like first for corn, then for beans?
Well, it still looks really good for corn. We have to be impressed with what's been going on domestically. Ethanol's been strong, feed demand strong. Exports have certainly hung in better than most have expected, including me. We just haven't had that pressure from Brazil like we have had. And, so that's refreshing. We're a little bit short on sales, to meet the USDA's current projection, but we have a whole lot of time. And, even though it's starting to rain in, Mato Grosso, that soybean planting season has gotten off to a slow start down there, which isn't going to have much of an impact on soybean yield if the weather is good from here on out, but it could very well have a huge impact on that second crop corn. So I think there's just there's some things to feel good about with corn. Now we need to get through the next 3 weeks where we're just going to be slammed with corn. It's dry corn. It's going to be needing a home fast, and we'll handle that here for the next week to 10 days, but then it's going to get pretty dicey, Andy.
We do not have a USDA update on harvest officially until Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern. So what is the John Zanker unofficial update looking like?
Well, you know, I really haven't spent much time on that. I used to be into all those numbers in the past and trying to figure it out on a daily basis. But then, you know, after being in the business now for 43 years, realized a long time ago that that planting or that harvested number is not going to have a big impact on price when the market opens a few hours later. But, you know, we'll be we got some corn harvested last week for sure. A little bit more interested in the soybeans. We're going to we saw some very heavy progress last week on soybeans. So that number is going to be big. It's going to be bigger than last year. It's going to be bigger than the 5-year average. And that's not really a bullish or bearish factor, you know, in the end. So I do believe the USDA lowered that yield by a tenth down to 53.1, I think, as dry as these soybeans are coming across. You know, we're going to have some field losses from that. We're certainly seeing some weight losses, of course. I wouldn't be surprised to see that yield come down a little bit more, and maybe we're going to see the same thing with corn as you know, you start seeing some of these sub 13% numbers, which is not unheard of in most years, but extremely rare. So the good thing is we're saving some money on gas.
John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities, and the number there in Lafayette is 866-837-9027. Now, the Monday final numbers on the board. First, December corn, 7.5 cents lower, dipping to 408.25. March goes down to 424.75, off 8.25. November beans, 9.5 lower. The Jan contract also 9.5 cents down. Novi settles at 996 after going back and forth above and then below $10. January settles at 10.11.5. December wheat, 585.25, a loss of 13.75. Meats mixed, December live cattle, 187.92, up 35 cents. But December lean hogs down $1.85, settling at 75.80. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.